Blog Talk Radio. And I am your host for the show tonight, the special Friday show that I'm just totally psyched about, and you're going to see why real soon. Talkupy is a show about that features conversations with people who do good things for community. Very loose definition, but a lot of people fit in there, and they're usually really great. We've done 148 shows as of tonight, so please go back in the archives and check them out. You can do that by going to talkupy.net. You can also get more info on the podcast and contact me from that page. And I'll be putting some new links from tonight's show on that page after the show, too. You can follow Talkupy on Twitter at Talkupy_radio as well. I want to also thank, as I always do, my buddy Ronald Jenkins for letting me use his song, Disorganized Fun, to open the show. And I have one more thank you for him for tweeting about tonight's guests, one of whom is his nephew. So I'm like doubly tickled. You know, I'm just like super excited to be doing this show tonight because it's like there's some honorary family thing going on here. It's not a favor. I always promote Ronald just because I love him, and he's so fabulous. And now because he knows great music when he sees it. So thank you, Ronald, as always. Check him out at ronaldjenkins.com and on YouTube. His new song, Try the Bass, will blow you right out of your chair. So be sure and tune that up and watch it. Also, we have a few announcements. I want to send out love and solidarity to Global Occupy News Network, who's listening in and having a good time. They've been giving us a lot of retweets and a lot of love and support, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. This is actually show number 4 since we went back on the air last Friday, so I'm really humming along here. I'm getting it going after 6 months hiatus, and that's fun. I miss being on the show, but I had to make sure what I was supposed to be doing with this thing, and I think I'm on track now. Also heard from a guest that we've had on several times, Art Tandarup, a Nebraska farmer who is active with Bold Nebraska and trying to keep that KXL pipeline out of his farm fields. And he's going to be on with us next Tuesday at 8 p.m. ET. So be sure to put that on your calendar. Please follow. Also, because of my guest tonight, I finally did what I've been trying to do for a long time, which is get Talkupy on Stitcher. We've been on iTunes for a while. Stitcher is a podcast aggregator that is available to you as an app from either the Apple Store or Google Play. Please pick up Stitcher and download it and then follow Talkupy. It really is something that enables me to help my guests' voices reach even farther than they already do. And we're doing pretty good because we're getting like 6,500 listens per month, even when we were on break. So pretty happy with that. I'm going to bring the mic up, and we'll get on with the show. It is my very, very, very great pleasure to welcome a phenomenal new band from Louisville, Kentucky. That's how you say it, by the way, in case you don't know. And they are named Forest and the... I'm sorry, I'm saying Forest again. Forest and the Photons. And all the band members are with us tonight in their little cubbyhole that Nick carved out. We have Nick Hill and Stuart Wickey and Scott Boyce. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
It's exciting to have you here. We had a lot of work trying to get this show together and figure out how we were going to get them on with Skype. And, yeah, but there's like a paid Skype and a free Skype thing with Blog Talk Radio. That's really confusing, and I almost chased these guys off, but they stuck with me, so I really appreciate it. appreciate you hanging in there, guys.
Well,
it's when you do a live show, and this is live radio, so if anything happens, if you're listening, you guys, and anything happens, listeners, just hang in there. We'll be back. Stuff happens. It always does. But maybe not tonight. I've been kind of praying and pacing the floor today, hoping that it wouldn't. Anyway, we decided to do a quick introduction and then play you one of their songs so you know what we're talking about. And because you just want to hear it. And you don't even know that yet, but you do. So let's start with Nick. Nick, you do the lead vocals, the guitar, the keyboard work, and you also make the music videos. Why don't you tell me about this band name? Like, what? It's Phourist and the Photons. What? It's like, first of all, I thought all good band names were taken. So how did you get that?
Yeah. Well, there's some debate as to whether or not it's good, but
I like
it. It's basically my middle name. And then Photons was for alliteration. I just wrote down a bunch of different names in a notebook that kind of would go. It was originally Forrest and the Epiphytes, but that sounded kind of, I don't know, perverted or something. So we didn't want to do that. Yeah, doesn't really work. So then it was Forrest and the Fights.
and that
might have worked, actually.
And the Fights?
But,
like the Friday Night Fights?
Yeah, short for Epiphytes. Yeah, well, no, Physt. Yeah, no, but it could be easily misinterpreted, so I ended up going with Photon. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, that's good. It's hard to come up with a band name. You know, all the band names were taken like 25 years ago, so I'm proud of you for doing that. It was good. And then next I want to introduce Stuart Wiki. I'm going to tell you what I think. I'm calling him an explosive musical bass player, and I don't know if that makes any sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. He's pretty explosive, yeah.
But I mean musical because you really seem to play. You're not just doing beat. You're doing music, you know, with your bass, and it's really cool. I love it, and it's like so. There's a lot of great tension between these guys, and you'll see it when you go see their video of their live show, where they did a song called Sacred. It's just I watch it every morning, and like let's go, let's get into the day.
Nice.
Cool.
But anyway, Stuart, Wiki, you're also a songwriter, and you have 3 records of your own. What kind of songs do you write?
I do like a folk thing. It's a totally different spectrum. I mean, Nick has kind of had an influence on me at this point because I've been in the band for about a year. But, I mean, it's a totally different thing. It's like all acoustic. Well, right now it's all acoustic. But I don't have a band. It's a solo act. It's a whole thing. Folk stuff.
But he writes a bunch of band parts, though.
So. Yeah.
He's got his recordings are full band. Some of them are, anyway.
Yeah, I can definitely hear those.
Yeah.
Now, how long have you been playing the bass? Like, usually, I don't think of, like, songwriters as bass players. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why I'm saying I see it in your way you play the bass. I see it. And I'm like, what is that? What is that? You know? And now I get it. Now I see it. Now I understand why it's there. But what made you want to play the bass?
My sister made me play the bass because she wanted to play the guitar. She wouldn't let me play the guitar. She wanted to play lead guitar, and she was going to start a band, and I was going to play the bass for her. And I was 11 or 12 and didn't object. So I kind of branched out from there.
Right. You still love. I mean, you really seem to really like playing it a lot. Like you said, you kind of want to it looks like you want to grind it up or something. Like it's pretty cool. I love it. I can't wait to see you in person someday.
He sort of plays lead with the bass a lot of the times anyway, because I'm playing strumming patterns and stuff, and he'll get up there and do like the melodic lines.
Well, I mean, there's that whole thing that you were telling me about the Geddy Lee approach to bass. Basically, in a trio, you're the melody.
Yeah.
I mean, the guitarist has got to fill out the chords. The bassist gets to have all the fun.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And that's, you know, that goes back to the 3-man band thing, which is, you know, another part of your great mystique, because my brothers and I, you know, we're all music lovers and we've been loving music for a long, long time. But, you know, our favorite bands are always the 3-man band. We're like, it's 3-man or 5-man band. That's it. You know, that's it. That's all it is. And when you guys, I was like, yeah, it's the 3-man band thing, man. It's awesome. I love it. So that's cool. And then the last but not least, we don't want to leave out Scott, which you, Stuart, and Scott have been friends for a while, and that you also, you know, played together before. So, hi, Scott. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so glad to talk to you because like you're like my kin, man. I swear, like Ronald's my honorary brother or something. But no, so you're my honorary nephew too.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I like that.
And this, and really, the reason I said that when you walked in tonight, but that's the reason we're here because of you. Because Ronald tweeted you out and said how proud he was of you for what you do with your percussion, which I am calling also musical, but I'm calling it impeccable musical percussion.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Because it's really good. And the one thing that I noticed that you have a lot of, you're really into a lot of like Balkan type rhythms, you know, rhythms from international type influences and stuff like that. I wanted to ask you about that. Where does that come from for you?
A lot of it comes from Nick. He approached me and wanted like some tribal sounds and all this crazy stuff. And, you know, of course, I was more than happy to do that because it's super fun. But,
right.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting.
A lot of it comes from like the Stuart and I back when we were in a jazz combo. It kind of comes from there when we would do like Latin songs and that kind of thing. So. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to send you a clip later on tonight that'll show you. I used to follow a band in Chicago when I lived there. They were called the Balkan Rhythm Band, and they would play songs from like the 10th century, Macedonian songs from the 10th century. I had them play at my wedding. I was the only one. I told Nick today that I was the only one who could dance to them, but they were just, there's not a lot of good video or music to it, but it's like I can throw down with that beat. That's like so good. And you also do SoundCloud stuff. You do experimental sounds on a SoundCloud page that I actually ran into while I was researching you guys. What's that all about? The song, the first cut on that is Too Long and Too Weird, which I think is
exactly what it was. I don't know. It's just I like having fun with a lot of like ugly sounds and that kind of thing, or you know, just kind of, I don't know, just everything I do is like drenched in like 8 layers of delay, so it's fun, it's a blast. I haven't put anything on there. I've got a I got a bunch of stuff to put on there. I just haven't done it lately, but no, it's just sort of a, I don't know, I wouldn't call it a side project. It's just sort of me messing around.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, it's just interesting to find the, you know, the layers of all of you guys, because I knew there was a lot more there. And the jazz I heard the other night, I was driving with my friend. I said, listen to this. There's jazz in that. There's jazz. And she goes, yeah, I hear. And then when Nick told me today, I was like, yes, I do. I heard it. It was just so, so perfect. So, well, that's great. Well, we'll look forward to more of your sounds. And I did come across a video too. I've been swimming in these guys, I'm not kidding, of Dick like singing like into his guitar hole, like screaming or singing guitar hole. So I think you guys are having an influence on each other. But pretty good.
Yeah, I'm trying to get Scott to bring some of that sound experiment stuff into the band. I don't want to steal his vibe.
No, you can steal my vibe. That's fine. I'd be happy.
All right, well I'm glad we're brokering that here tonight. Yeah, I always broker band plans on my show, but who knows? Maybe I have a future going here. But yeah, so let's not delay anymore. The first album that you put out is called Together as Yourselves. Now, if you go to Bandcamp, and everybody that's listening needs to go to Bandcamp tonight and get some music, because, well, you just will anyway. It doesn't really matter. But and this the album, the DC, I'm like, is it an album? Is it a CD? It's a CD. That is called In Infinite Indigo. And the song that I'm going to play you is the first song on the album. It's not the title track because it's not the title of the album. But it's the first song, and it's the one that I heard when I went to Ronald's page and fell head over heels in love with you guys. So here is, I'm going to put you on mute, and then I'm going to play the song Here's Some Moonlight for Your Day. Here we go.
1, 2, 3. I've been on your run. believe me one of these days. We wonder if we need to pray.
Muted there.
Forest and the photon. Yes, you were muted. And also, okay. there was a little bit of packet delay going on, but it doesn't show up in the show when it goes on. So they don't hear that.
Cool.
So don't. Yeah, I found that the other day because at the end of Ronald's like song, I used it to close out, and it was like just going, and I was like, no.
Yeah.
But then I listened back, and it was fine. I was like, yes, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about it. It's hard to hear because you're like, oh, no.
Yeah, we didn't actually hear. I was no delay on this end, so.
It must be me.
It all sounds good.
Yeah, good. All right.
Yeah.
And if anybody that's listening that's your friend that can text you and tell me if my volume is too high, or too low, or just right, that would be awesome, because we're going to play a few more songs. I have no idea what it sounds like, you know, on the listener's end, so if we can get any feedback from anybody, that would be great. And I can't look at anything else while I do this show, because I'm like a little, like, you know, I'm one of those squirrel people. Like, oh, my God, you know. You know, look over there, a squirrel. Oh, my God, you know, and I forget everything that I'm doing. So
you mean like ADD. Okay.
Nick thought you meant a hybrid squirrel person.
The verdict is in. The volume is great.
Yeah.
All right, good. I'll keep it there. I'll keep it right there below the red line. Right below the red line. All right, awesome. Thank you for the feedback, people. Which I have to tell you guys, you must have... You have some pretty big, strong something going on out there because you had 104 bookmarks for this show before it even started. I was like, wait a minute. Like, that's pretty remarkable. So you have some really dedicated people out there that are supporting you tonight so you can feel good in that.
That's totally good. Awesome.
Where are y'all at?
They're there. They're there. Well, they may be my people. They could be my people. They could be your people. They could be Ronald's people. I don't know. You know, we'll see.
Yeah.
Maybe Uncle Ronald will give us. Maybe Uncle Ronald will tweet this interview out. That would be fun. But
believe he's listening right now.
That's awesome, Ronald. I absolutely love you, and I am working. I am working hard to get you a Splatoon for your wasps, baby. I know he put out last night. I'm sitting there on my computer, and all of a sudden Ronald puts a tweet out. I need a Splatoon for my wasps. I need an app that'll let me kill wasps like a Splatoon. So I had to look up Splatoon and find out what that was, and then I was like looking for a solution for him, and then I was like, you know what, Ron will be okay. Get his wasps taken care of. But I felt like taking care of him on that. So anyway,
I've got a tennis racket looking thing with it has like an electrocution like if you turn it on, it's good. Huh?
That's not Splatoon, babe. You gotta look up Splatoon.
Oh.
Splatoon, like
okay.
It's like a paint. It's like
but
a paint.
I don't know. If he's trying to get rid of wasps, though. So.
Yeah. You look at you can help him in the meantime while he waits for the Splatoon app. But it's like you put on eyeglasses and you look at the wasp and it spits out like ink that just gets rid of him. That's what he's looking for.
What?
So
what?
Wait. What?
That sounds
bizarre. Yeah.
Well, look it up. You can look it up after the show. We have to get back to your song.
No.
Well,
it's too late. They're looking it up right now.
I told you I was a squirrel lady. Gosh darn it. All right. So anyway, so here's some Moonlight for Your Day. Like, what a song. That's, like, such a great song. What? How did you guys come up with that together? Like, tell me how that was birthed and where it came from. It's so good.
Honestly, that one came from... I just felt like I really needed to write a song. And so I sat in the garage for like 6 hours until something good came out. And then I put two pieces together, which is the way it happens a lot, is you'll have like a good piece that you just come up with while you're driving or something. And you have like, that's all I got. And then like 3 weeks later, you'll be like, but that would go good right here. And then you kind of piece it together that way. That's the way I do it anyway. And then I brought it to the band, and obviously, originally, that band was me and a buddy of mine, Cher Vaughn, and Scott. And, well, actually, no, it was Scott, me, Adam, Cher,
and
Ryan Bohr.
Yeah, doing something.
Yeah, we had a crazy five-piece going on.
Five is good, five is three, just go four.
Yeah.
They get it.
Yeah. An honorable mention, yeah. we just sort of sat there, and usually most of our writing process is not so much, it's not too complicated, because usually one of us will come in with an idea or something, and then honestly, it just, we talk about it for like 10 minutes, and then Scott usually just immediately knows what to play on the drum. I use like descriptive terms, like, can we make it sound like an ocean wave? And he'll be like, sure, Nick. And then, like, he'll just, like, you know, play the drums. And then, like, and it'll sound great. And Stuart, when he came in the band, he caught on to that song in, like, I don't know, 2-3 seconds. You know, he just looked at what I was playing on the keys and was just like, oh, here's what I'll do. And that's pretty much how it goes most of the time, is we'll bring in a song and then they'll just play with it. And we'll kind of figure out the dynamics of the thing, and that's usually what takes the time, is like figuring out all the tricky bits that we want to do and stuff.
My favorite thing
My favorite thing about Nick's process is the descriptive terms that he comes up with.
We were like the exploding bone marrow,
one. No, I don't know what that I don't know what that is. He came with some piece like 2 or 3 months ago, and he was like, I want this to sound like a crystalline pool of water on the moon that has never been touched by any person alive ever. Also, it's in space. And I'm just like, cool, I think I that sound again.
That's great. That's awesome. Yeah, no, that came from the Kevin Gibson, who wrote, did the write-up on you guys twice, I guess, in the Louisville Insider Louisville. And then he did another on you, too. But he said that Nick told him, yeah, I think this is going to sound like exploding bone marrow. And then he called him a week later to say, maybe it wasn't going to sound like that.
Yeah. The only part that really ended up sounding like that was The Light Won't Lie to Me. I always felt like that actually did kind of sound like exploding bone marrow.
The which one?
That's just me. The Light Won't Lie to Me. The one with the kind of backwards. Yeah.
I like that
song. Crazy,
I didn't load that song. I should have loaded other songs, but I don't know. Everybody just has to go to Bandcamp and hear the rest of it. That's just how it is. They got to. So, you know, one of the things, and don't be afraid of Bandcamp, people. I actually got Ronald's last video songs. I got without joining Bandcamp, but then he said it was good for him if he joined Bandcamp. And then when I got your guys' stuff, I said, well, heck, I'll join Bandcamp. But then I had to buy Ronald's stuff all over again because I wanted it on my page. So he seems like I'm shoveling money in over there, but it's worth it because I want to have it there, and it's so good, especially the new one. So fun. But so now one of the things that you said, I want to hear about your influences. Like, obviously, I want to hear Nick's first because maybe they're like or something like that. I don't know.
My influences are actually pretty predictable. I liked a lot of Radiohead for a long time. I've been listening to a lot of Peter Gabriel. Not gonna lie, I'm kind of a Bruce Springsteen fan.
Whoa!
Is that bad? Is that bad?
Well, I have a Springsteen story for you at the next show.
Uh-oh.
No, it's not anything. It's just that he came out of nowhere at me, and it was like all of a sudden he was like the best musician in the whole world, and I never heard of him. And I was like, what? Who is this guy? How did he get here? Then I never heard of him. It was odd. He was always odd to me in that respect. But, yeah, I can see why you like that. It's cinematic. Cinematic.
Yeah, exactly. It's the theatrics of the thing is what I was grabbing onto. And that influenced this record a little bit. But honestly, these guys' influences are much cooler, so we'll go ahead and let you tell theirs.
I thought maybe you had the Man from Mars on your list or something, Nick.
Oh, no, I listen to a lot of weird music, too. Like, I grew up on Dead Can Dance and a lot of, like, honestly, the listening walls at Target and Walmart and stuff when I was a little kid, that's pretty much was my original influence with music. So it wasn't like I never really the rest of the stuff that I mentioned earlier is pretty much a recent development, but when I was a kid I would hit the listening walls or whatever and they would play like that nice like peaceful ambient music or whatever and I just love that apparently so I've heard and then a lot of soundtracks I listen to a lot of soundtracks I used to hum like Star Wars and various things. Mostly what I've been into for most of my life is, like, sort of ambient, atmospheric-type music, and which we kind of abandoned on this record, honestly. But, you know, it still has some atmosphere, but I kind of wanted something a little more punchy this time, you know. But,
right. It's punchy. Yeah. It's good and punchy. That's good. So are you into The Residents at all?
I don't know them, actually.
All right. I got to get you some. The Residents are guys that they created a band and they didn't want anyone to know who they were, so they performed wearing like big plastic eyeballs over their heads, and they call themselves The Residents because like the letter comes to your house and it's addressed resident. So they're pretty cool, and they did a lot of ambient stuff. I saw them first on MTV many, many years ago doing like shadow dancing behind like a sheet, you know, with light projected from behind them. It was all this ambient wild music. It was the first time I ever heard it. They're just so cool.
That's
cool. So cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh, I was also influenced by my cousin's band, Cabin. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of all my influences. Like
that's
it was. Okay. There's a lot. There's a lot of music. But anyway, I'll let these guys tell theirs, I guess.
All right. Who's next? Who's going next? Stuart.
All right. Scott's gesturing at me.
Ooh.
I don't know. It's interesting because Nick and I have there's a lot of converging influences early on because, I mean, I grew up with a lot of the same stuff it sounds like he grew up with, like a lot of, like, ambient kind of almost New Agey Celtic kind of stuff. Like, we both listen to a lot of Enya and... Yeah, I'm sure everyone's
right.
laughing. Enya and Lorena McKennitt.
No,
and,
Enya's great, man. So is her day.
Yeah. No, I love Enya. I don't listen to her now.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I should. I should start listening to Enya again. But, I mean, I got into a lot of my bass technique actually comes from I listened to so much Pink Floyd in high school.
Oh, Pink Floyd, yeah.
Yeah. Roger Waters is, like, probably just influenced absolutely number one on the bass. And I don't know, I listen to a lot of jazz because I go to school at U of L. I'm in school for jazz, so I kind of have to, but I mean, it's also a choice, you know.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I heard
mean,
that
I,
you... Go ahead.
Oh, so I don't know, I was kind of filling time.
Okay. Well, I was gonna say that I was talking to Nick today, and I was telling about someone else. I've had music drop on me just all year. It's just been like I've been like down in the dumps, and things are just dropping on me, you know, like crazy. And one of the ones I was listening to John Fulbright one day, and on YouTube, and I was working over at my art table, and all of a sudden this guy starts singing. It wasn't, you know how they kind of play and then they keep playing, and then all of a sudden I heard this guy and I was like, whoa, who's that guy? I know that guy. He's really great. Like, I got to go remember who that is. And I went over to my computer. It was Mike Ferris from Nashville. And he said that you had heard of him or knew about him. The guy who sings the
apparently
gospel.
I was wrong. I don't know that name.
He was looking at me like I'm crazy.
Well, I'm gonna drop,
that's my bad.
I'm
I thought he played it for me one time. Yeah.
I run across so much music. I don't write everything down. I like.
Well, you would remember.
I just go
you would,
through YouTube and it's just.
Trust me, you would remember him. But I'll send you guys some of him. It's just. It's like brilliant, brilliant. It's Roots Gospel, and he's like right, he's right there with his music. So is John Fulbright, and they're fabulous, really good young musicians. Well, Mike's not young, but John is, and good stuff. But yeah, the Pink Floyd, I can get down with you on the Pink Floyd. I remember getting the Pink Floyd album with the white cover with the I forget what wasn't the obelisk on it, but it was I don't know which one it was. I think it was Crazy Diamond. I got that for Christmas when it came out. It was pretty fun.
Yeah.
And I used to get Frank Zappa records,
yeah,
too, which was really fun.
Nice.
So,
yeah, we got compared to Frank Zappa.
Did we really?
Yeah. By my coworker at the delivery location. He was like, y'all remind me of? Y'all remind me of Frank Zappa? I ain't even heard that song, Don't Eat the Yellow Snow. No, but I've heard Frank Zappa. I like Frank Zappa, yeah.
I feel like we're not cut out there.
Yeah.
We got a while to go before we get there.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing about Zappa that he will do, if like you listen to like something like 200 Motels or something like that, it'll really encourage you to get experimental. You know, he really did what he wanted to do,
yeah,
which was really kind of cool. And he had, the Sofa Number 2 and the other one, One Size Fits All, though I got those for Christmas one year too, and those are the more accessible Zappa albums. And then there's one, the yellow one, Weasels Rip My Flesh, that has one really good song on it that's pretty accessible. The rest of it's like, whoa, like, what are you doing, Frank? You know?
Yeah.
But anyway,
yeah.
Enough of that. What about Scott? What are some of your influences, my friend?
Early on, day one of having a drum set, I wanted to learn all the Rush songs that I could, obviously,
yeah.
You know.
How did I forget Rush?
Because, you know, when you're a young drummer, obviously it's Neil Peart, you know. There's no other option.
Yeah.
That and Led Zeppelin were really early influences. And then throughout high school, a lot of jazz stuff. Like, I see, I guess, Art Blakey the most, being kind of the biggest influence on him. And whoever played with Mingus, who played with Mingus the most?
Oh, the drums? Richmond.
Yeah, Richmond. Yeah, Danny Richmond. I can never remember his name. That guy, and then a lot lately has been Zach Hill, who is the drummer for Hella and Death Grips and, like, some other, like, more math rock, explosive, whatever.
Bone Marrow.
Well, yeah, it's like Bone Marrow music. yeah. Just like, and a lot of, like...
Makes sense. I might be related to that guy.
Maybe.
His last name is Hill.
So. That's true.
Yeah.
We should
ask. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, so, like, a lot of, like, math rock kind of stuff is what it's been lately. Mm-hmm. You know, Battles and that kind of stuff. I don't know, kind of
all very cool stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I was gonna challenge you there on Rush being the only one up there, because I saw Bonzo play live. I saw their last tour and they were so good.
Nice.
I mean, Bonham is phenomenal. You know, just like,
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
He's a guy who, like, it's funny because now that we're bringing him up, you know, it reminds me a lot of the way you do handle the songs when I think about John Bonham. But also, are you guys into System of a Down? Because, like, that's like my other big band of.
Oh man,
last
I definitely used to be back in the day. Like, Hypnotize had come out. I was super into that band. must have been, I guess, like, eighth grade for me. Oh, it was sweet. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I've recently actually started listening to them again, like, going back and listening to the Rage Against the Machine and, like,
yeah.
all that stuff that I used to listen to back when I was into, like, super hardcore music and all that.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I ended up seeing System of a Down during Ozfest here in Florida years ago.
Nice.
And,
yeah.
Oh, I'm telling you, man, they defy gravity. They just do so, and they'll, like, twirl on the stage and play, like, the guitar, like, twirling for, like, a half an hour. It's ridiculous. And the lead singer's voice, I can't remember his name right now because I'm nervous, but, you know, he's just, it's so operatic. It reminded me a lot of Judas Priest because, like, they could do anything. You know, they could play any kind of music they wanted to, but they just chose that.
they're all fun. Super talented when you listen to them, but that's wild.
Yeah. Plus, I'll tell you my Judas Priest story. I actually saw them in my college. They came to play when their first tour in England, and my brothers and people at his record store were the only ones who knew about it. You know, really knew about them at that time. So all these people went to see this local band play, and when the local band stopped playing, everybody left, and I saw Judas Priest in a ballroom of 25 people, and they played.
Whoa.
It was like a personal concert.
Oh,
it's the best thing ever that ever happened.
Yeah.
It was so good. But now you're jealous, right?
Yeah.
Well, you should be if you're not. That's what I'm going to say. So anyway.
Yeah. Oh, no, we're jealous. Don't worry. We got compared to System of a Down also.
Did we really?
Yeah, by another Domino delivery guy.
Oh, no.
Secret's out.
What? No. Anyway. Oh, my God.
He's dropping non-hits.
Yeah.
That's all right. We know you don't work. We know what you're doing.
Yeah.
We know what you're doing.
Yeah.
All right. I want to talk a little bit, too, about your raison d'etre. Like, you know, what is it that's French for a reason for living, in case you don't know. And that's actually a great, I think, Buzzcocks song, I think so. But I would like to play the next song, which is Midnight. It's like one of my absolute favorite songs. It's a little bit longer, not much, like 30 seconds longer than the last song, but everybody's not going to mind because they're going to love it. And I think this is one that I call, like, the drum solo with other music around it. I'm not sure. Or another one, but let's listen to Midnight. And I'm going to mute myself this time. I was afraid to last time, so maybe it'll even sound better this time because I'm afraid to drop the show, but we'll make it work, okay? All right, so we'll see you guys on the other side of Midnight. Hold on here, and I'll start
it
up.
All right. Well, you tried to sell your soul, but the dark didn't want it. Needed something it could control. So it laughed you off the stage, and once rejected, you decided to take it home. And you haven't had a wink of sleep, so you tell me, 'cause you know. Thank you.
Yeah, the moment of strike can go with lightning all around. We could all be receivers for electrical manifold. So if I stay and stay all night and all weekend, I'm ready to face this world. That's alright. All the midnight's gone. That's alright. All the midnight's gone anyhow.
Midnight, one of my absolute favorite songs of all 8 songs, but I love them all, so I don't know, it's not saying much, I guess. But it's so great, great songwriting, great lyrics, and I want to talk about the whisper break. That's like the coolest thing ever.
Oh, yeah.
Where did that come from? I just love that. So that surprised me. That surprised me, you know, and that's one of the things I was telling Nick before is that, you know, it's like when you listen to your songs, you have no idea where you guys are taking us. You know, I have no idea where I'm going.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of being at a theme park, like, whoa, let's go and see what this is.
Well, that came from making it like it came from like playing shows and wanting people to notice that you were playing something. Like, because a lot of times you'll play in a bar or something and nobody cares at all, you know. Which, you know, they're there for some other reason, so you can't really blame them. But like, you want to like draw attention, you know. So sometimes you'll like just throw in something that kind of catches people off guard a little bit or something. But I mean, that's not the only reason. We also just like kind of messing with song structures and stuff, you know.
I think that whole section came together kind of in the studio, didn't it? Because I mean, we recorded the song and.
Yeah.
We had it together and we were just like, this needs something else.
There's nothing
there's
in
like
this
a,
break.
A full minute of just like this vamp on this one chord, and we were just like, what can we put here? We just started adding stuff and see what stuck.
Yeah. Well, honestly, what the break sounds like to me is just like total like paranoid panic. Sounds like the kind of stuff that would go on in my mind a lot while I was making this record, is just like not having like any time.
you know, like not having like, you know, not getting anywhere, not doing any of the things that I wanted to do, and just freaking out. You know, you wake up in the middle of the night just freaking out because you're like, I'm not where I'm wanting to go, and you know, I would just go out, like walking like out in the middle of the night, you know, super probably dangerous, you know. I don't know. I went walking one time and like a helicopter like actually put a spotlight on me, like because they were looking for somebody that was like on the loose or something, and like there's this dude just walking around at like 2 a.m. and they just spotlighted me for like a solid like 10 seconds. Which felt like, you know, 3 hours. I was like,
right.
No, it's not me, y'all. I kind of just stuck my hands up, like kind of a shrug, like I don't know who you're looking for. It's not me, though.
You should have gone. He went that way and pointed, and then you would have been, you know.
Yeah.
You should have broken your run.
Yeah. Yeah. I almost did run. I was just like, that looks incredibly suspicious. Don't do that.
Should have flashed your gun at him.
Yeah. Broke out. I have my own flashlight. I'll flash like a light back at them.
Oh, yeah.
No.
You're looking at me, huh?
These are all bad strategies for this day and age, but you could have done it a while back.
Yeah.
You know, I got stopped for singing to a willow tree when I was in college on the way back from the bar. So, you know, it's a different kind of day. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
He said, "Are you all right?" I said, "Yeah, it's a tree. I just got to sing to it. It's so gorgeous." And they're like, "Okay, get home safe." I don't know how. I really don't know how I made it through that. But anyway, to get back to you guys and forget about me, I'm just having fun, so sorry. But I think that, you tried to sell your soul, but the dark didn't want it, needed something to control. Dude, that is like some great, that is some class A songwriting, just beautiful right there. I love it. And I also wanted to talk about your use of nonverbal sound. Like, nonverbal. I mean, what am I trying to say? When you use like keening and just using not words, non-word sound. I think it's great.
Oh.
I love it.
That's mostly just because I come up with very few words that I think actually sound good. And then the rest I need to fill. Like honestly, it's kind of like when you're writing, like most of what I come up with first is just melody. So the words are kind of like, they're like placeholders a lot of the times, and you just sort of form them into things that, you know, slowly start to make more sense. You know, I just kind of keep babbling until it starts to make sense. You know, I should probably be like writing it down in a typewriter or something, but I can't seem to write that way. I have to like just keep like, or I'm not a typewriter, I guess that's old, but I don't know. I keep seeing pictures of like people writing, old songwriters like writing on typewriters and stuff, but I don't really do that. Like, it's the same concept though. You just like record it on your phone or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, most of it's I consider it more of composing than like writing most of the time. Like, I'm not like a heavy like lyricist, but I like to try and make the lyrics very like vague and somehow relatable though, you know. But
right.
I really don't
know.
Well,
no, I mean, but that's kind of like what I wrote in the, what I wrote about you guys in the promo, you know, that you leave a lot of space for people to come in and bring, you know, their feelings and their experiences and to bounce off the music. And there's a lot of, you know, and then also you don't let them sit there. Like, you're going to guide them into this next piece and that's the next part with whatever thoughts they had. And I think it's like it's super collaborative. Like, from my end, that's how I see it anyway. What about you guys, Scott and Stuart? What do you think about the keening and the use of just, you know, non-words?
It's what we are.
All right.
I guess I'm kind of like a signature sound at this point, maybe. Not like we own it and we own that thing.
No, we own it.
No,
no
one
else
can ever do it. But,
trademark.
TF, right?
We are trademarking those. No one else can do that. It's definitely, you know, a lot of songs and artists, they want to be like super wordy, and that's fine, but like it doesn't need to be done, you know.
No, definitely. And I was like thinking, because there's one part on Sky, which we're going to end the show with, which is a great song. But I mean, at the end, someone, I don't know if it's Stuart or you, Scott, you just said, we got to write some lyrics for this one, man. It's funny. It's
oh,
so
no,
funny.
That,
I'm
that
like,
was our engineer.
That
was Adam Coach coming in on the overhead.
Yeah,
there.
Uncredited. He's actually the one that screams too.
Yeah, I didn't credit Adam for like anything except for the fact that he like mastered it and recorded it. But he did the like that scream at the end of Midnight, where it's like all the whispers and then the wah.
Yeah.
That's Adam. Because he's like, well, I listen to a lot of metal music. He's like, I listen to a lot of screaming, and I scream while I'm listening to it. And I'm like, you wanna give this a go? So it's actually both of our screams like combined, but his was definitely very intense, you know, and
well, that's,
creepy.
That's yeah, no, it works. Yeah. It works. It's like once you hear it the first time, you know to wait for it the second time. You know, you hear the song, so
yeah.
It's really good. But I loved when he said, you know, you got to write some lyrics for that song, and I'm like in my car going, no,
yeah.
Alone. It's perfect the way it is.
That's what we decided. I actually wrote lyrics for it, and they were terrible, and the whole thing sounded awful. Like, I went in and tried to record it, and the only way I could sing it in that key was just to, like, yell it, and it just sounded awful. So we just, let's just leave that, because it felt, like, more peaceful if we just left it there, you know. And there was enough action at the end of the record that it didn't need to be, like, a big thing, you know.
Right.
But, anyway.
But you said then you have that neoclassical album thing, and like that was something that was done in the old days. You know, the little like talking and babbling, at, you know, talking after a song is cut, you know, leaving it on the track. So
yeah.
That was kind of cool too. I liked that you did that too, because it's kind of like, wow, you know, it brings you out of the song. So it's kind of a nice little mechanism.
We were trying to make it. I wanted the whole record to kind of flow together as if it just been played straight through, like. Like we just sat down and played it, you know, like kind of a live record, but just with good, you know, as good of quality as we could get. And I've been listening to the version of Miles Davis Kind of Blue or something, where he's like, it's like mostly just talking. It's like a special edition or something. And I just turned it on one day and I was like, oh, that's cool. I like hearing all the sounds of them just like shuffling papers in the background and like, you know, talking about what they're going to do next and blah, blah, blah. And
right.
I like that vibe. It gives it a nice, like, real feel to it, you know?
Right. You do that on a segue in Terrestrial Daydream, as a matter of fact. I don't know what song
yeah.
that's between, but you're, like, shuffling something around, and it's like, he's shuffling something around, but it's okay. I like
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So, also, I wanted to talk a little bit about what you were talking about, you know, before, about, you know, how hard it is to get these kind of things done, especially these days with flexible schedules. I mean, you know, like you told me, you didn't even know what day you could pick because you didn't know what day you were going to work. And, you know, you guys are all super busy. Stuart's in musical
yeah.
school, and Scott's playing everywhere he goes. And so how do you guys, how do you overcome that? And how do you feel about it as young people trying to make art? Let's discuss that a little bit, because I think it's really important.
I kind of want to hand this over to the other fellow.
Ah.
Okay.
It's just hard to it's hard to schedule anything. So it's hard to actually like focus sometimes because you have no time to do so.
Yeah.
Like if. It depends on what you're doing. Like, if you can, like, write in your head, you know, then you're usually okay. For Stuart, I imagine it's fairly difficult because it's hard to, like write music and stuff while you're, like, learning other pieces of music and,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, doing very,
right.
but, you know, music school is cool, though, so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get a whole lot of time to work on stuff of my own, definitely. I mean, I haven't written anything on, you know, any solo stuff in a couple months, and I'm finally getting a band together for that, and that's going to take a while. I don't know how long or when I'll be able to do it. And with Forest stuff, it's always like, you know, I mean, we don't get the opportunity very often to learn new songs because it takes a while to learn a song, and we don't have that time all the time. And because, I mean, in school, I'm learning, you know, four tunes for a lesson, four tunes for an ensemble, four tunes for a recital, four tunes for someone
wow.
else's recital. It's just, it's, and I'm taking 16 hours in class, and it's just like, okay, I make notes on my phone of when I want to, like, remember something, but other than that, I just don't get to write or rehearse much else.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm usually sitting at work, super bored, with nothing around me to make music with, so I just kind of have to, like, tap on stuff, or I'll download a bunch of, like, weird rhythm machine or, like, sound apps from the Google Play Store, just, like, try to do something, you know, but, you know, sitting there for, like, 8 hours, absolutely doing nothing. it's not
welcome to the work. Right, welcome to the work. What's that? I missed what you said. What did you say?
It's not very conducive to, like, you know, creating new stuff.
Right.
You know, I can sit there and listen to things all the time, but, you know.
Explain
plus,
where you sound.
Plus, we're trying to do.
Go ahead.
What? Oh, no. No, you should do that.
No, what was that? It's
what?
On you.
Yeah, what were you
we're
saying?
Getting a little, we're getting no, I said it explains the SoundCloud. That's what I was saying.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, yeah.
But, I mean,
there.
How do you feel as young people? Go ahead, Scott. I'm sorry. It's hard when we can't
oh,
see
no,
each
you're,
other.
You're okay. I work in a mall, and, like, I can hear, there's always music playing in the mall, and I can kind
oh,
of
man.
Hear it down the hallway I work down, and it's always just kind of completely washed out by the reverb of the mall, so it just sounds like really
oh.
weird atmospheric noise. And
that's cool.
It does kind of help.
Yeah.
Well, just do yourself a favor and stay out of Walgreens, because I don't know what kind of music they're playing. Like, get out of our store music. Like, whenever I go in there, like, leave now. I just the other day I was like, what is this? Is crazy. Stop doing this to me. Crazy people. But and the mall, I can't even go to the mall. Like, I'm done. There's no more mall for me. I can't go. So that's all right.
I think I hear app photo like 8 times a day.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's a great thing.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you a story that actually when I was in college, we had a really great progressive radio station that had a music wall that was the size of, I mean, I don't know, like the Smithsonian. And they came in, they got someone bought them. They were called WTAO, WDAO. And corporate guy came in and bought the station, and all of those records ended up at the used record store. And they started playing like 3 songs that I can't hear anymore. One of them is like a Fleetwood Mac song, and I forget what the other one is. Thank God I forget it. But it was like they had 3 records left there that they played, and it was like super heartbreaking because you're coming out of a period of time when music was just abundant and played like, you know, people would just pick from stacks, you know, and it was just really, really good stuff. But, you know, I wanted to ask you, just as young men that, you know, are artists, do you feel like, you know, the world gives you space to do art? Or, you know, like, I mean, I'm not saying you just, you know, I don't even know what I'm saying. It's just that I find it really, I think it's a shame. I think it's a shame that you don't have space to do art, really. It hurts
me. Well,
art
is a... The issue with art is the lack of practicality, you know. It's just like, I feel like that's the only reason that happens. It's just like, I have to do it, you know. I feel like these fellas are pretty much the same way. You pretty much have no choice in the matter. Like, you're going to end up doing it just to for yourself, you know, at the very least. Yeah. Oh, you said stay sane.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Exactly. I like, honestly. Yeah. Most of the music that we're writing is kind of therapy, you know. but yeah, it's not. You know, it's not a service that people are so much into paying for these days. But you know, there's ways. You know, we're figuring it out. You just have to kind of learn how to adapt. You know, to the situation. And I think everybody in music right now is trying to learn how to adapt to the situation.
Right.
At least everybody I know.
Yeah, and you and I were talking earlier, just, you know, and I was telling you, music's it's a tough, you know, it's a bad business. It's just, it's not even, it's like, it's a whole convoluted thing of what it used to be. And it was not that great, you know, back in the day either. All the good artists got ripped off, and now they're too rich. Like Bono, he just made more money on his Twitter investment than he made in all his whole music career the other day. So he catapulted into the 1%. And, you know, it's so weird how things go, you know. And if you live long enough, you get to see this stuff happen, and you're like, wow, it's like that's wrong, you know. It's really bad.
Yeah.
It's like I think art has become super important to me, and I find like I want to bring more artists on, and I want to talk about art, and I want to make sure that there's, you know, there's ample space and time for people like you guys to do it. It hurts me that you don't have. Someone should give you time and space. Like I was saying, they should come down here and just like play. They could have my house for like a whole weekend and just jam and just get stuff together or whatever. I'll leave you guys here. You can do it, you know. So, I mean, that's the stuff I was thinking today. And it was like, but they probably can't leave their jobs at the mall or the delivery place. Inside joke there already. Okay. Yeah. So with that said, I actually want to play The Wave now. It's a song that you guys play. You guys play it out, right? You play it still, right?
We have been more. A couple of times. Yeah.
We've been more often than we used to. Used to be, well, we can't get the sound of five people with three people, but now we're really trying to get the sound of five people with three people.
Honestly, Stuart has.
I want to hear it with three people. Did you play it at the live show?
No, not that one. I sent you. It has like that guitar lead in it that my buddy from another band, Tall Squares, actually wrote that guitar lead, Adam Crowhorn.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the part that we really can't, but we have trouble replicating that live because he played it, you know, and Stuart's on the bass and I'm strumming the chords or whatever. So it's just tricky. We figured out some ways, like I've taken to just yelling during that part now, you know, just cause basically you just need. You need the energy right there. You don't necessarily need that exact part, you know.
Right.
But there's ways. Oh, yeah, we've been playing it.
Yeah, you need to talk to Ronald about that. He plays like about 25 instruments at one time, so he'll get you on. He'll make that happen for you.
It's been a while to watch them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
definitely.
We have so many technical difficulties just as it is, like with just like an effect, like batteries dying and like. I can't imagine throwing in like a loop pedal or something. I don't know what he's using, but I can't imagine throwing in more gadgets, you know.
Yeah, the effects pedal through the acoustic guitar usually throws the sound guy through the loops.
Yeah.
Most of the comments on Ronald's threads are like, how did you do this? How did you do that? Like, what are you using? it's all technical.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's get back to this one. I want to play this real quick. It's a short song. I loaded it because it was short and because I just love this song. I never forget that I heard it at night when I was like 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was listening to it in bed and I was totally dancing in bed. Like I was just boom, 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 waltzing around in my bed. And I'm telling you, it was just made me happier than I've been in a long time. So this is The Wave and the Powers That Be. I'm going to mute us and then I'm going to play it. Okay. And we'll be right back. Hold on, everybody. And here we go. Whoa.
Tell me what I should know, and I'll keep it in my head forever after. Tell me.
Okay, we're back. My favorite song. I love that song too. Sorry, I'm
Can I give a shout out? Can I give a shout out?
Absolutely.
About that song?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So my buddy, that's three friends of mine that don't really get credited a whole lot. But that was my buddy Ryan Pearson on the bass, and my buddy James Ryan Bohr on the drums, who plays with Tall Squares, and Adam Crowhorn on lead guitar, who was also in Tall Squares. It was basically a different band, Tall Squares, and I was like, we had been working on kind of trading back and forth between two different bands, and they just helped me out on that song. And I just wanted to give them a shout out. Thanks, guys, for doing that.
Yeah, they did. Didn't you have Shervon on that too? It wasn't.
Shervon came on later. Yeah. All right,
so I'm doing a Kevin Gibson now. I'm getting confused. That's why I didn't want to play it, because I just messed
It's confusing.
Up.
It's confused. I like it now because it's simple. It's like three people and memorable names, you know. Not that other people's names weren't memorable, but just like it's
right.
less confusing now. You know, it's just like
three handsome boys.
Who are, and, yeah.
It's that three-man band efficiency type thing, really, definitely. But, you know, I got to say that, you know, that song, just after the count and then the break, I mean, I feel like I'm getting catapulted, like, into heaven with that. It's just, it's so great. And I have, my house has no furniture in it, and I just, like, dance around. Have you guys ever thought about, and I mean, like more interpretive dance type thing? Like, I believe that's a weird thing to admit, but, like, seriously.
I have thought of it. I have not mentioned it to the band yet.
Oh, this is a different thing.
See, here we are brokering more stuff. But, yeah, I think you need to do that. Dance. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was thinking about doing, like, a dance video type thing. I mentioned it to Stuart back
in
the day.
You mentioned that you wanted to do a lot of choreography on stage. I thought you were talking about that.
Oh.
But no, you for Visitations, you did want to do just like a dance video.
Yeah. Also, we want to try maybe like old surf bands, like the Shadows and stuff, and like the Ventures or whatever, I think is that's old surf.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Like they would do old choreographed moves, like while they were playing and stuff. We were thinking about maybe trying some of that. Yeah.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
No, it would be. It would actually be beautiful. And I'm like getting into more. I have this like thing where I want to do like this intersectional design guild. I'm like, I have this thing in my mind where all the artists get together in one place in a city, and they make stuff together. Like instead of just like, you know, trying to make like what like you guys make songs and people make dances. It's like everybody sort of gets together and collaborates like super heavy. So that's like something. But I mean, this song just like after that, it's just like woo! I gotta dance. You know, I'll listen to that with my tablet and my earphones on. So I'm geeky again, but I don't care. It's beautiful.
I don't know how you dance to that song though. It's like I guess you can dance like a waltz dance or something.
No, you just can't.
Yeah.
Macedonian dance. Anyone who had the Balkan Rhythm Band at her wedding, she can dance to that. I'm telling you right now. So it sounds like I have to have the Tall Squares on next, but we'll see. About
oh, yeah.
That.
Yeah, those guys
are they're good.
Definitely like that. So now you guys play out when you know, most of the time you told me when you're together, you're playing out in Louisville. And I saw that you had some gigs in Knoxville. You also did a trip to Brooklyn this year, I think. Should we talk about playing out? Like, because the bars, even the video from the Rudyard Kipling, they're hard for me to watch because it's like, people, shut up. You know?
Yeah. But, that's what I was saying about trying to do something. It's like when you're trying to, like, when you're in a bar, you have to, like, grab people's attention somehow so that they will, you know, be not. So that they'll be quiet, but honestly, like, that's kind of...
So they'll pay attention.
Yeah, you kind of... That's, like, why you're there, you know? You, like, want to get, like, at least two or three people to be, like, interested and, like, go like your page or, like, buy your record or get a T-shirt or take a card or anything, you know?
Right.
But, so you got to really grab them, you know? And it's really hard. It's, like...
Yeah.
It's, like, really... It's really difficult to get that going on right now. But, we've been traveling pretty much anywhere we can go. We've been Lexington, Nashville, Stuart's been on his own little tour, actually. He went to North Carolina and
various
locations.
Yeah.
We went to New York. Where else have we been?
Knoxville, Chicago.
Chicago, yeah.
Oh, you went to Chicago. That's my hometown.
The Fizz.
Yeah. Fizz Bar.
Yeah, Fizz Bar.
Oh,
yeah.
There you go. I'm sure I was never there. But that's a long time ago. Long time ago in Chicago. If it was back then, I would have been there for sure.
Yeah. Well, we played with a really cool band there called American Wolf. I like them a lot.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah, it's
but
really
now
cool
you
to have friends
go
in
ahead.
Other cities.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good to make connections with bands in other cities because they'll hook you up if you hook them up and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice trade. The only problem is a lot of times you'll get like 30 emails from like bands from out of town, and they all want help like booking shows, and we would love to like hook everybody up, but we don't really like it's tricky just to put on one good show, you know. So we want to give them a good show, you know. We don't want to like just throw them in at a bar at the last minute because you know it's not really going to do them that much good. So it's hard to field all those requests. So I understand when we contact a band that's out of town and they're like, yeah, we really can't do that right now because we're booked up and blah blah blah. And it's tough to get the timing right on that kind of thing. But but when it does happen, it's really nice because you can get like four bands together and they'll bring like 30, 40, 50 people or whatever, and those are usually pretty good shows. Like the best show we've had. Sorry, what?
No, go ahead. The best show you've had.
The best show we've had, I think, probably was our release show. But
that was. But that kind of is a case kind of all its own.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, what is that? Tell me what that was and when that happened.
We played. We put out the record in like a couple months back, and we put a show together at the Roger Kipling and like had a bunch of friends bands play, and we had a pretty good turnout. Like that felt like an actual
like
success.
People.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
I felt like we were finally getting somewhere, you know? And then, we played a really good show in Nashville one time, believe it or not, at Blue Bar. Yeah.
The only good show we've had in Nashville.
Yeah. It was
all
really
right.
Great. Cause our buddy, Books, stuff. I don't know if I should announce his name because he might not.
Okay, well then
don't.
That's okay. We can do it next time.
Right. Okay. But he hooked us up with a really good show, and that was good exposure. We met a lot of people there in Nashville, and he's the same guy who hooked us up in New York as well.
Oh, okay.
So
awesome.
Yeah. The one in New York was actually really good. One of our better shows. Yeah.
Where did you play in New York?
Three's Brewing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brooklyn.
Yeah, in Brooklyn, New York. Yeah, it was a good. It was like, I like playing in small places that are just like shoulder to shoulder people, you know, just like examining every move that you make, you know. Like, it's kind of weird once you actually are on stage and they are examining you quite so closely, but like, it's also exactly what you want, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're going to do this thing.
Right.
So,
well,
yeah.
I stopped going to shows a long time ago. I mean, I went to a show pretty recently. I saw one of the last Cramps shows up in Orlando at the House of Blues. And this one guy, like, jumped right in front of me at the beginning. But I didn't care because, like, I usually dance, like, pretty hard when the Cramps are playing really hard. Even it doesn't really matter. Like, I was getting in mosh pits not so long ago. KMFDM was up there. And, I mean, I was on the edge. But it's like you get to a day where you can't do that. But whatever. You just do it anyway. But people, it's like it's hard to go to shows because people don't, I mean, it's like, I took my mom to see George Michael many years ago, and these ladies were yammering behind us, and I was like, it's like, we're here at the show, like, can you watch the show, or do you have to talk? You know, it's just like, going to shows gives me, like, it makes me break out in hives, but I'll go, you know, I'll go, but I don't like bars.
They need to bring their voice down to a careless whisper.
Yeah.
Say what?
They need to bring their voice level down to a careless whisper.
Yeah.
Am I talking about the wrong person?
No.
You're right.
Okay.
Yeah,
you're right.
My bad.
That's an inside
I'm not even grabbing that one. Yeah. I don't know what
you're saying. That's an inside joke.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the new guy in this band, actually. Like, they've been playing together for years, and there's, like, so many inside jokes that I just have no idea what. I'm just like, all right, cool. And I'll just, like, go play the piano or something, you know? I'm just like,
we'll get them there, man. We'll get you there.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, you guys,
they're slowly filling in on, like, 20 years of history. You know?
Well, that's nice of them, I think. But, also the one video that I told you I play every day of Sacred Live on the YouTube, the one that got put up, that looked like fun. It sounded like you had a good time there. And people were very attentive. I mean, it starts out with Stuart on the bass, and one guy in the background go, hell yeah!
which video? I believe that was Brent Mathis.
Was that from the release show?
No, it's from Porkest.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
And it just is so perfect.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. I didn't say it right. Darn it.
No, that's what it says. Yeah.
Oh, he has like three things he likes to yell.
Yeah.
And two,
okay,
did
it?
Not be repeated.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so great. It's so southern. It's so perfect. And you know, being in Louisville, where you are, you're really in good stone's throw reach of Chicago, Indianapolis, Nashville, Knoxville. I mean, you're in a good spot. You really are. So
yeah.
I think I'm thinking.
We're
good
a fairly central location. The drive to New York was a bit rough. That was that was like 13 hours or something. You know.
I think I had a panic attack for about 8 of those hours.
We were taking Scott's car, and he was just like, dude, I'm so nervous right now.
I still feel so bad because I thought everyone thought I was being mean to him. But
no,
I was just freaking out the whole time.
Well,
like, I deserved it.
And I trust all of you guys to drive my car, but I was just the whole time like, please don't wreck my car.
Yeah, Nick did this thing.
I'm
gonna tell him. As soon as you get an I-70, Nick, he's coming off the stop, and he's just like, he just slams the brake and he screams. He just goes, all five of us are just like, what the hell was that? Did you hit something? What was that? And then Scott's just like crying and and Nick's
hyperventilating.
Nick's just laughing. He's just like, huh, I got y'all.
I learned that from Stuart's sister, actually, is where I learned it from.
Testing the brakes. I have punchy brakes.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you're killing me. You're so funny.
Yeah.
It was good. I just had to look down.
So he was like, because I did it, and everybody was like my buddy Anthony like was filming the whole thing, and he was in the, he's like, I hate you, I hate you so much.
Oh my God. First rule of road trips is you got to have a rental, man. You've got to take a rental. That's just the way it's got to be.
Yeah.
That's how you keep the band together. Oh my God, so that's fun. I knew the wave would cheer us up. I knew it would. I just knew it would. So anyway, I think let's see, what do we have? I wouldn't mind playing. Let's see, we're at 9:18. I think we could play one more song and then talk a little bit more and give all your 411s and all that other stuff, and then go out with Sky. How does that sound?
Sounds good
to me.
I'm sure everybody wants to hear another song. I know they do. They don't hear us like all hyperventilating. Good stuff. All right, I'm going to put you on mute, and I'm going to play When the Whistle Blows, which is another one that just like I love. So hold on. And here is When the Whistle Blows.
Gonna be underwater side. Gonna be creatures away flying. Gonna be darkness slowly dying. When the whistle blows, when the whistle blows, yeah, one of these days I'll be free. One of these days I'll be free. Free from all I don't believe. One of these days I'll be free.
Here I am. Okay, I brought you guys back first. That was a mistake. Just kidding. I won't do that again. But anyway, yeah, that's like a great song. I didn't realize until the other day that you start that song with no band and then end it with a full band. And it's really, I like that. That's awesome. It's fun.
Thank you. Yeah, we put a lot of thought into that band mix in the band, into like changing up the loud, quiet, you know. I don't know how much we'll do that on the next record, but it's good for, I like to make it very theatrical whenever we can, you know. Kind of the style of it. Anyway.
Right. How does that work in the bar? How does that song work in the bar? Does it work? The long pauses? Because I remember the long pauses. I was like, oh, false ending, yay. Love that.
Yeah.
And when it works,
horrible.
It really works.
Yeah.
When it doesn't, it really doesn't.
Yeah. Sometimes we're like, this is awkward. Which I'm cool with. I'm cool with making people uncomfortable as well. But I like when people, like the Foo Bar show in Nashville, that one was good because people were like laughing because they were like, nope. And I'm like, nope, not yet. And you know, you had to let people know not to clap and stuff. And
right.
It's a good tactic from time to time. I don't know.
It grabs attention.
Yeah,
sure.
It's what the song needed. My grandma really does not like it at all.
Oh,
my grandma like hate.
Grandma,
yeah,
come
she,
on.
She was, well, she liked the record and everything, but she was like,
you really just keep saying that.
She's like,
I keep waiting for that to just be done. And I'm like, okay, we need to take on the ball.
I'm like, grandma, calm down. Okay.
it's because she cares. It's because she cares.
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah, she definitely cares. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's fun.
She's very supportive.
I like your little trick there of like kind of strumming the strings just a little tiny bit. Is like, that took a while to catch on to. I mean, the one thing about your music is it just takes a while to get it, to get all the nice little nuance, you know. And then you're like, well, what song is that in? And you know, it's like, it's not a bad thing. but it's like it takes a while to study your album. I'm going to say that quite honestly.
Cool.
You know? Yeah.
We were hoping that people would actually listen to it enough to where they would notice things like that. You know,
yeah.
Like the whispering and stuff. Like people have started picking out actually what is being said during the whispery bits and stuff.
Not there yet.
It's really cool.
Not.
Yeah, it takes
luck.
Yeah, it takes a discerning ear because I don't even remember a lot of it, but because it's all jumbled up at the same time. But I have it all written down, you know.
Go back to the whisper break. There are some spots where it's almost like on purpose you did like shout, like there's like a shout like that. It's like it comes out as like there's not a whisper. It's like a shout,
yeah.
You know, like that type thing. And I thought I was like, well, that was that by mistake or was that on purpose? And I finally realized it was on purpose. So you know, at least
I
was right.
Panic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I always thought of it. It's the sounds of panic. Like your brain is just like hurry up. You know, you've got no time. Like, that's been on the record. That was on the record a couple of times, running out of time. At that point in time, I was very anxious. You know, you know, you feel like you're running out of time all the time. So that's what part was.
Yeah.
Which is
and that's a
freak
song
out.
That's a song we didn't play. It was Constantly, 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 which is about constantly feeling like you're running out of time. But it has a whole lead-in that's like a long, luxurious lead-in, and then it goes into this little, tight little song about how I don't have any time. And I was like, really?
Yeah, well, that's how life works, though. It's like you have so much time sometimes to sit there and do nothing, and then all of a sudden, like, when you're actually trying to do something you want to do, you have no time at all. You know, that's been my experience anyway. My buddy, he always said that was his favorite song that we've done,
mm-hmm.
and he's like,
mm-hmm.
"It's too short, man." And I'm like, "I think you missed the point."
Exactly. Yeah, that was my friend's favorite song, the one I played the album for. I had her in my car. I said, "Now listen to this one. Now listen to this one. Isn't this great? Listen to this again." You know, but it was fun.
Awesome.
She did like it, and she also tweeted you. She also Facebooked you out, I think. So that's to Michelle.
Cool.
Thanks, Michelle. You're a good girl. She's my
good
friend. Yeah. So all right. So anyway, we've pretty much played everything except for Sky, and we're gonna play that on the way out. But I just wanted to ask you if you had any future plans. I know you have a gig on Sunday, September 7th, 2015. Where are you gonna be playing on Sunday?
We're playing on the 27th at Zanzibar with our buddy's band. I don't know why I said it like that. our buddy's band, One for the Doc, and an out-of-town band called Nick D and the Believers on Sunday evening during the lunar eclipse, I believe, the supermoon.
Supermoon,
so
lunar eclipse.
I'm going to see if maybe we can move our set outside so we can see it. We'll see how that goes. Yeah.
The good news is that the eclipses take a long time, so you'll have plenty of time to run out there and see it. So it's gonna take take like a couple hours. So you'll be able to see it. And that'll hopefully you'll have a view from where you are. That will be good.
Yeah.
You know,
as far as other plans goes, we're working as much as we can on a new record. Like I've been working on it pretty much every night, you know, we've been jamming different parts and everything, trying to come up with something that's still fresh that we can do. We're probably gonna mess with more sounds and stuff like that, but we got a lot of ideas, and so there's a new record coming hopefully in the spring or the summer. I'm not sure which yet. It will be a season though. And we're
a different
we're
season.
Also,
it won't be this season, right? It won't be the fall.
It won't be the fall or the winter. That's for sure. We're also working on putting a tour. We really want to tour this record still. We've been touring it kind of. We really gotta just go ahead and do like back to back shows, you know, out of town. And I'm trying to book that right now, actually. For the Infinite Indigo record, but we've sort of toured it. We just want to tour more, and anywhere we can, and within reason. We don't really want to tour Antarctica yet.
No, that probably isn't not this season anyway, right? For sure.
Yeah.
But Well, it's just been an absolute pleasure finally getting to talk to you guys. I feel like I know you for all this time, and you're also totally welcome on the show anytime. And I hope that everybody who's been listening has enjoyed your music and your banter and our laughter, because it's always good to have, you know, times when you can just let it loose and have fun. And I think that, you know, we managed to pull that together. There's a lot of tension leading up to tonight. You know, it's like we were all excited about it, and it worked. So I'm really happy about that. But I want to direct everybody to go to the Bandcamp page for Forest at Forest. I keep saying Forest. I'll never stop. Phourist.
It sounds right to me.
I know.
When you say it, it sounds right. Okay.
I know. Forest. I say Phour instead of for. Well, someone was saying Forest or what did you say before, Nick? Phourist.
No, it's Phourist.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's wrong. Like the radio used to a local radio show used to say Phourist and all the time. I think they even called it Phourist in the futons at one point.
Oh, stop! No, they didn't. I have to come up there in school. That was very good.
Yeah.
But so everybody go to Bandcamp, go to YouTube, watch their videos. There's a lot of stuff you can actually watch Nick grow up on YouTube. You can probably watch the other guys too, but it's kind of fun. And there's a lot of things to see and a lot of things to learn for. You can watch for the new material. They're on Twitter at Phourist, Facebook, Bandcamp, I said, of course. Go on Bandcamp and buy their stuff and make a little page so that people see you have them. And then you can look at what they like. If like Nick's page, you can see what kind of stuff he listens to. It's kind of neat, Bandcamp. I'm kind of liking it now.
Yeah.
And YouTube, Sacred Lives. Do watch that. You'll love it. And also website is forest.com, not Phourist, forest.com. So, and I want to give you a chance to say anything you want to say to your fans or family or anybody, you know, before we sign off. And whoever wants to go first, go first.
Hello, fans. Nice to meet you. Pleasure to make your acquaintance.
There you go.
But no, thank you guys very much for listening to this and our music. If you do,
if you will,
anyone who,
when you do,
if you in the
Nick,
future or in the past or in the present, thank you anybody who's supported us and everything. Yeah,
I want to say
Scott,
smash that like button on Facebook. We have so close to 800 likes, and I would really love to hit that tonight. But enough promoting, that's fine. Thanks, everyone. Best.
Yeah. I want to say a big thank you to Coldplay.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. We wanted to out ourselves. We like Coldplay a lot.
We all like Coldplay a lot.
Why?
Yeah.
What's wrong with liking Coldplay?
Nothing.
I believe nothing.
I have been made fun of for many years.
Others may believe something.
I've been made fun of for liking Coldplay and Sting. And
I love Sting. I love Coldplay. I love Inya. You know, I'm not ashamed.
Me neither.
I try to make me embarrassed to say that, but I love them.
Yeah.
I thought it was okay, but all right. But wait a minute. What about Nickelback?
Nah. I did a joke the other day. It worked though, because he needed a nickel back, and I was like, this is a fan. And he was like, he took him a second. He's like, Nickelback.
The only acceptable response.
Yeah. I didn't expect him to laugh. I just, you know, just like a response of any kind was good at that moment, because there was some awkward time that passed.
That is great. Anyway. All right. So, you know, I tell you one thing. Oh, go ahead, Scott.
Oh, just saying, shout out to Nickelback.
There you go, shout out to Nickelback. Right. I only wish I had had the ability to cue up some Anya. That's the worst part about this whole show. If I could have done that, it would have been so beautiful. But I didn't have it. Have it queued up. Next time I will.
Well, we can just sing it for you. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, I can get it too.
Yeah.
But next show, watch out. That's all I'm saying. All right, you guys, thank you so much for coming on. We're going to go out with the song Sky.
Thank you for having
and
us.
You're so welcome. And hopefully we'll do it again real soon. Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
All right, you guys, have a great night. And we're going to hit this button and play out Sky. And I'll see you on the other side of this show. All right, bye, guys.
I wake up and go on. walk as the sky is filling up with light. Sometimes you are with me, we're still talking. I will fill your head with light. 'Cause thank you.